I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Last week we talked about rejoy. How's your joy? And we worshiped our way into a rejoy. wonderful, wonderful time of worship. In fact, it was such a wonderful time of worship that apparently I wasn't capable of getting the technology part down pat. And did not get the message recorded. So it's always interesting to try and put together a little bit of what we talked about. But we'll be fine. Take delight in the Lord, Psalm 37:4 says, and he will give you your heart's desires. How about that? That'll make you rejoice, won't it? Take delight in the Lord. And he will give you your heart's desires. That's where we rejoiced. And then Psalm 54 and verse 6 says, I will sacrifice a voluntary offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. Verse 7 goes on to say, for you have rescued me from my troubles and help me to triumph over my enemies. Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus, right? A sacrifice of praise. As I've been sharing about as we go through the Bible again this year, Leviticus, I determined that I was going to read every word. Well, in fact, I'm ending up with two studies that have Leviticus in it, and well, this week, I think that I got the thing. I got the thing that rings about Leviticus as they talked about when the people sacrificed. They brought the things there, and when they put their hand on the animal that they were killing because that animal was going to die for the people, and then their sacrifice, because people brought a sacrifice, their sacrifice was laid on the altar. And the power of God would come and consume the sacrifice. And I just got this giggle in my heart. It'd be like 4th of July, all the sacrifices going up in smoke and the people cheering as their sins went away. You know, just how joyous is that? Have you ever cheered because your sins went away? You know, a lot of people we've been told that Jesus forgave our sins, and some people, well, yeah, I haven't been perfect, but I don't know. I don't want to toe stomp here or anything like that, but I just want to encourage you, if you've never cheered because your sins went away, give a cheer. You know, give a yahoo, a hallelujah, a glory to God that my sins are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Yeah, so anyway, that just thrills me that the sacrifice and the Lord consuming it on the altar. And so then Jesus consumed all of them as the sacrifice. And he died, and Holy Spirit came and raised him from the dead and blew all the sins up. Just blew them up. Blew them away. And thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I just give you thanks, Lord. My sins, my chains are gone. My sins are gone. And I've got a place to deposit past, present, and future. And I say, Lord, keep me. Keep my heart from sinning. Keep my mouth from sinning. Keep my body from sinning. Keep me, Lord. Keep me as the apple of your eye, Lord. So, anyway, all that coming back to a sacrifice of praise, we sing a song that says, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, you know. And I've looked at it from an angle of, you know, well, maybe sometimes it is a sacrifice. Boy, you got to work yourself up to it. But at the same time, it's a sacrifice to God. It's not to please God. It's for our sake. We're bringing a sacrifice that says thank you, watching for it to be consumed on the altar. The Lord comes down and inhabits the praises of his people, and I can't quite imagine not feeling like praising the Lord. Or even more so, I can't imagine not being willing to praise the Lord. Because, well, I don't feel like it. Or some people have said, well, I'm kind of mad at God right now. Whew, you just ought to start praising until you get over that. You know? You get over that. I've raised children, and sometimes children, they're just going to get mad at dad, you know? And I said, hey, it isn't going to bother me if you're mad at me. You know, I raised your siblings before I raised you. You want to be mad? Go ahead. But that's a whole nother thing. We have no reason ever to be mad at God. Now, I'm thinking right now about a thing that happened in Leviticus, and that was when Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, went and did false fire, and God consumed them. And Aaron was going to kind of have a little tip on his shoulder about they did wrong. Or when David moved the ark, and he moved it the wrong way, and a guy grabbed the horn of the altar to steady it, and boom, he was dead. And David, he was upset that God would do that, but he came out of it. You know? Hey, God doesn't make mistakes. God never does anything to hurt you, never does anything to hurt me. He works all things together for the good of those who love him. So I'm going to keep loving him. So, like I say, I can't imagine not wanting to praise. Praise is easy for me. The thought of the Lord should kind of start a praise in our hearts. You know that kind of thing of like where a little kid is sad and you start to try to tickle them. They turn away from you and... you know, they're not going to be tickled, and you keep doing them. Pretty soon, the turns into a laugh and a run and a catch me, grandpa, or something. Or I used to catch my kids, and I catch my grandkids, and just get a tickle in the heart. You know, just the thought of God should be kind of like a maybe like just a little test on the starter of an engine. You know. Just start. Praise can and will change the direction of our thinking. It may take an effort, but it's an effort worth making. You know, it's an effort. It's worth the effort. Sacrifices were offerings the Lord required, and the people wanted to make sure they made them. You know, they better show up and they better bring their sacrifice. They were dependent upon the priest to offer them correctly. But the people could only be required to sacrifice and pray for the priest and give thanks when it was done, because they wanted the priest to do it right, because they wanted their sins gone. They wanted their sins gone. And they did that over and over and over and over again, and they lost interest in it, kind of, sort of. They just showed that it takes an effort. It takes a determination to be consistent and to continue in our walk with the Lord. And we have to push anything aside that tries to convince us, or we feel like we're being convinced that this is too much. There isn't too much. Not when we consider what we get back. Praising the Lord is not doing Him a favor, it's doing ourselves the favor. Recently we had a devotion, talked about considering in our hearts how wonderful God is. And I think that we all can honestly say that there are times when we haven't considered in our hearts. Haven't really considered it. You know, maybe I grew up in church, going to church and never knowing the Lord. That's me. But I know and I see a lot of people who don't know the Lord, haven't considered in their hearts the Lord, learned all that they can about the Lord, but maybe never went leaping and dancing and rejoicing in the Lord. That's a whole other thing. But there are pictures of the effort we should be willing to make and take in order. You know, we talked about rebooting and buffering and how much we want the phone to quit buffering, or how much we want the computer to run right, and the effort that we're willing to go to get it to work. And I've restarted my computer, and I restarted my printer, and then I've had to take a chance on letting Microsoft control my what prints. And I'm going, whoa, I don't know about letting them have the say so on it. And but you know what? When I did that, it worked better. So I suppose, you know, Microsoft was in there keeping things from happening until I trusted them to do it right. I don't know. Just a thought that I have is that sometimes we kind of mess things up because we don't trust God to do it right. Sometimes we question, why would God do this, or why does God let that happen, or whatever the case might be, rather than just saying, you know something, the Lord is right. Because that's what Moses was trying to teach people, folks, and everything, God's right. He is right. Now and then, a group of people rose up against Moses. Who do you think you are? You're not so wonderful. And, you know, God said, okay, just get away from these people. I'm going to destroy them. And then he said, I'll tell you what, you just have them all put incense in their censers and have them come. I'll show them who's right. I think it was Korah. He was going to rise up, and he wouldn't even come up from his tent. So Moses went down to him, and he said to him, he said, you know, if you die of natural causes, God never spoke to me. But if something strange would happen, like the earth opening up and you falling into it, then we'll know who the Lord has chosen. And he no more than got done and earth opens, Korah and his family go in, earth closes. What an attention getter. What an attention getter. Yeah. But you know what? The next day, the people were complaining again. I can't imagine. Can't imagine that. But you know, sometimes we are just impressed with God. Oh, God is so good. He's just so wonderful, and we're going to trust Him in every way we can. And then all of a sudden, maybe the next day, I just don't understand why God did this to me. There's another thing that people sometimes say, I just don't feel God like I once did. Some people haven't felt God at all, but some say, you know, so I just don't feel Him like I once did. I said, God hasn't changed. People that don't understand feeling the presence of God, my question then is, have you ever sought His presence? This last week, I had an experience. I've never had that sort of an experience in 42 years. I've experienced God in His presence a lot of times and been overwhelmed by Him and rejoicing in Him and cried because He was so wonderful and lots of things. But this particular time, I was listening to Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. I was doing dishes. And and we said, Father, I in them, and you in me. And all of a sudden, it was like they were in me. And I was about like I am now talking about it again, except it was just so intense. It was so intense. And the Lord, I said, Lord, Lord. He said to me, He said, You need to recognize this, and you need to learn to operate with this. In other words, function with this. I said, Lord. He said, You'll be able to. You'll be able to. I couldn't very well function at the time that it was happening. And it was so intense that my muscles were cramping. And then all of a sudden I was tremendously cold. And so I put on a stocking hat and a hoodie. And I just went and I sat after I was able to finish the dishes. I just wanted to finish the dishes. And that was the control I had. And then I went and I sat in my chair. And waves of glory or whatever would come, and I would be, oh. And it was like unable to, I don't know, my breathing was not normal, and apparently I got loud enough, and my wife came up, and she said, are you all right? I said, yes. She had recently had some an issue with her heart, and they had given her some nitro to take if she ever needed it. And she said, do you need one of my nitros? I said, no. She said, should I be sitting with you? You know, I guess I should have said, yeah, just come and take part of this. But I said, no, I am fine. I am fine. I mean, I wasn't fine, but I was fine. I was not fine, but it was divine, and so it was intense, gloriously intense. To say I comprehended exactly what it was about would be not true. But the Lord just told me to. I did say to Him, I said, if I'm going to be doing that, if you having these, I think maybe you should have done it to me when I was younger. But that's, He says, all my grace is sufficient. And so, but anyway, it was. I could not. I guess I could, if that's what what he did. But I said, I can't live like this, Lord. It's the weightiness of God was wonderfully too much. And so anyway, other times people say things like, "Well, I don't want to fake it. I don't want to fake the joy of the Lord." You can't fake the joy of the Lord. Oh, I've seen people that were faking it. Well, maybe you have, but God knows. But I don't think God minds exuberance and rejoicing in the Lord. And I think that maybe we need to be willing to work it up. Work it up a little bit. We might have to work our way into it, but my goodness, we've worked our way into a lot of other things, haven't we? You know? Forced ourselves to go do things that we didn't really want to do, and then we hate to admit we might have had a good time with it. Whatever, you know? We might have to work our way into it, but we might need a jump start. You know, you ever had an engine, a car battery dead, and you wanted to go somewhere? I don't want to jump it. You sure do if you want to get somewhere. Or have you ever, kept that starter going, getting it to grind to get it to start because you wanted it to start? If you live in the middle of the Midwest, it's been cold a few times. There have been times if you've ever done much outside or anything that you've had to go, and boy, it's rejoicing when it starts. Yeah! You know, there's a cheer for things to start. Well, sometimes we might need to praise the Lord. We might need to be willing to run that starter a bit. If you spend time in the cold, you know, I remember as a kid, my dad doing it, and I've done it too, when it got really, really cold out, going and starting the car, letting it run so it got warmed up, then shutting it off, going out a couple hours later because you needed to go somewhere in the morning, and so it had to be ready to start in the morning, so you had to start it four or five times in the night, and then just hope it started after it got really cold, but it was worth the effort. No doubt there were times when it just couldn't do it. But the thing is willing to do what it takes to make things work if we want things to work. Shouldn't be willing to praise God until we can't help but praise Him. Maybe if we don't want to praise God, we haven't spent enough time praising God, fine-tuning our praise, being willing to enter in, to join in to praise. I first came into the kingdom of God, and I was fortunate I had a pastor that took me under his wing because I could sing Jesus songs and give a testimony about what he did in my life. And we did a lot of praise in the park stuff, and worship was just pretty much the norm for me. I loved it. That's all I was to do. I'd sing and testify, and he'd preach because that's what he wanted to do. But he's a good musician too. Anyway. One day I went, and we went to Minneapolis, and a Vineyard Fellowship worship was going on, and oh wow, praise the Lord, you know. And he was kind of watching me, and afterwards he said, "Well, I wondered how you'd react to that." I thought, "Well, why in the world? That's like there's life flowing out of them. Why? How would we react to that?" But you see, he wasn't used to. A lot of people didn't react well to it because it was that kind of music. It was wonderful. Wonderful, just worshiping and praising and down on your knees and up with your hands and all of that kind of stuff. You know, it was just wonderful. The most important thing that we can do, the most important thing that we can do is praise the Lord. Bring Him your praise. Bring Him your commitment. Bring him your joy. You know, we said rejoice. How's your joy? The Lord, in the presence of the Lord, there's pleasure forevermore. I mean, bring him your joy. Bring Him your thanksgiving. You know, I mean, I in this world, a lot of times people get the idea we've got other things to worry about. But the Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this will be added to you. Let the Lord know that you appreciate Him. Sometimes people don't know to appreciate Him because they aren't sure what's Him. Because there's mixed messages and there's doubts about God's good intentions and there's all kinds of stuff like that. Or they, you know, well, you're wrong about this and you're wrong about this and all that. Right now people are fighting over how can evangelical Christians, how can people that say that they love God, how can they possibly think it's okay what ICE is doing? Well, you know, the thing that people seem to forget, you know, they say, well, Jesus would take care of the immigrants. I said, you know what? He would. He would. But He would do it, you know how America used to welcome immigrants? They brought them in. They made them swear allegiance to the United States, declare that they were no longer loyal to their old country. They came into the country, they came in, and they learned English, and they said, God bless America, and, you know, I mean, and that's what Jesus, have you ever read about God? He said, take care of the foreigners among you. But at the same time, the foreigners among them came in, and all of the males had to be circumcised if they wanted to be a part of their worship. And they had to follow the same rules and laws and relationship to God. And you bet, take care of them. But those who refused to follow the law, they received the same reward as those who didn't follow the law. See, we've got to look at things the way that the Lord looks at things. Follow me. Oh, it sounds real nice to say you're standing up for, but I don't want to stand up for pedophiles, murderers, rapists. I'm sorry. So I will pray for the protection of ICE. I will pray for them. And I'll pray that they do it right, because if they don't do it right, then they'll answer to God for that, I would assume, or they'll repent, whatever. But the whole thing is that allegiance to God. I don't need to take care of somebody who wants to spit on their Bible and want some other God. That's just kind of a side note. Don't let the devil tell you not to praise God unless you really feel like it. See, that's the devil that stops you from worshiping. That's the devil that says, well, you know, you don't have to do all of that. Bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Truth is, if you're a born-again child of God, you do feel like it. down inside you, praise, 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 praise. There's some praise down inside you. Yeah, there's some praise down inside you. We were made to praise. We were made to praise. And so there's like a rumble. There's an urge to join in and to praise God. Now, your praise might be buried under some disappointment at the time. Again, like a child that didn't get their way, and so they're pouting, and you're trying to get them to smile, and they don't want you to get them tickled. We're not going to smile. I have that all the time when I go into the jail. Sometimes there's people who just, you know, it's like they don't think it would be okay to be okay, or it's like they're not going to smile because how could I smile when I'm here, and what all that might be. And I said, come on, you can smile. I know you want to smile. You want to smile. I know you want to. And a lot of times then they'll break loose and they'll smile. Don't let your disappointment or bitterness or some other thing keep you. Don't let that cause you to rob God. Rob God of the praise that he's worthy of. Or rob ourselves by refusing to bring God the praise he deserves. We were created to praise. We all have what it takes to give God praise. You've got praise in you because you were made in the image of God. You can be the worst of the worst of the worst. I'm not sure which level of the worst that I was, but I can tell you that inside me there must have been something that could praise the Lord. Inside me is a desire to bring everyone to the liberty and the joy that praising the Lord will do, because we get lifted up when we praise the Lord. Joshua and Israel went in and they shouted and the walls came down at Jericho. True story. They've even found the crushed walls, you know. And it seems outlandish. Well, some people who listen to this might think that what I said about the way that the presence was on me the other night is outlandish. That doesn't happen. I've heard other people share testimonies like that, where they were in bed and the Lord came. They couldn't get out of bed. Well, I was mobile almost a little bit, not quite totally, fully, or completely, and immobilized at times. And well, that just sounds far fetched. You know, I have never thought that what anyone said about the presence of God on their lives was far-fetched. In fact, as I was sitting there feeling that energy, I thought, man, I can see now where they have old tapes of evangelists from years ago, and they would just all of a sudden just about go into hyperspeed, like somebody sped up the tape, and they'd just wave their arms at the crowd, and there'd be, you know, hundreds of people just fall down because of the release of that power. And, you know, I look at those things, I think, whoa, well, that was going through my head as that was in my head. My goodness, you know, ay, ay, ay. I never held on to 240 power, but I've felt the jolt of 110 a few times. If you've ever touched two wires, you know the feeling in your elbow, sometimes all the way to your shoulder. Boom, it's a jolt. And I don't have an explanation for what that was about. But I do know that God said that will come. And I will recognize it. I have no idea what he has planned, but I will I will do whatever he wants. I mean, only one ever had to hang on the cross, and that was Jesus. So I don't want that, but I do know that as a Christian, there are sometimes a little cross that we bear. There are some rejections. There are some bad things spoken of a person. There are lies told. You know, I mean, I know about that because I experienced that. That was always kind of a shock to me when I first encountered it and discovered that not everybody loved me because I came to know Jesus. But I never doubted Jesus loved me. And I never had any problem figuring out where to go when I needed a lift. Sacrifice of praise. Bring unto God your voice. Bring unto God your love. Bring everything unto God. Commit yourself to the Lord, as the psalm says. Trust in him also. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Allow this to... There's nothing wrong with experiences in God. I want to experience more in God. We want to experience a lot of stuff. And as I've been declaring for 42 years, there is no high like the Most High. There's nothing as good as the presence of God. There's nothing. Nothing compares to him. You know, you ever had anybody come up to you and say, "Oh, you've just got to see this movie. Oh, you've got to hear this song. Oh, you can't you just feel it? Hey, enter in. Enter in. Enter in. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. For the Lord himself will return to the shout." I shared that at a committal service at the cemetery, and I said, "You know, I said, if the Lord came right now, we'd all be standing here while people came up out of the ground. And then those of us who are alive and remain, we'd be caught up together with them in the clouds, if, of course, we were ready, you know. We have this hope. We're not as those who have no hope." And I said, "Look, I want to tell you this because I want you to have hope, not because I want you to be scared." You know, sometimes you can use those things. You just try to scare people. "You're going to go to hell if you're not ready," you know. I'd rather encourage people that you can be on the first load. Just be ready. Present yourself a living sacrifice unto God. Be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the idea of bringing praise to God transform your mind. If you're not a praiser, here you go. Don't let the enemy say, "Oh, don't get caught up in that stuff." I remember when I first was saved, there were people say, "Don't go too far with this. Don't go too far with this." I'm not going too far. I'm going all the way, baby. All the way. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray your blessing on this word. I thank you and pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart were yours, not mine. And I pray that there's a liberation, acceleration, something here for every single person who have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.